Wakanda forever. It's the Screencast.
You're listening to the Northeast Podcast. I'm Eric. I'm here with Ryan and Jim. How are you guys?
Wonderful. I feel good. How are you, man?
I feel great.
You feel really good because
I just found out I don't have to go to work tomorrow. Snow day.
Because I got fired. Oh, shit. Snow day. Yeah, which hasn't even it's a bold move to declare the snow day when not a flake has fallen. That's some like, hey, Ken Barlow, don't blow this type of shit. You know?
Yeah, no, it really is. But that's like all the districts in the state pretty much have already done so. So,
yeah.
Can't wait. Hope it doesn't snow.
Okay.
Then I'll go out and about, too.
How'd you guys like my choice of Ken Barlow as like the generic weatherman?
Well, I also want to go back to what you said for a second. You said it was some like Jack Kerouac shit. Like, it's a bold move when not a flake has fallen.
Oh, you'd like that.
Can we just appreciate the poetry that was?
I spit out fire.
That was incredible.
Yeah.
That was incredible.
All right. Well, you know, you ruined the moment, but maybe, you know.
The podcast is going to be all downhill from here.
Yeah. Well, it usually is.
I mean, for real.
Yeah. All right, guys, now's the time that we ask you to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Northeast Podcast. Also, subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Overcast, Podbean, the whole assembly
line
of them.
Wherever you get your pods, man, just subscribe.
Yeah, and if we're not on one of them, let us know. We'll get ourselves there. Also, if you would like Northeast Podcast gear, we still have hats, winter caps, ball caps. They look great. If you want to support us, they're $10. It's about as cheap as we can possibly get them to you. We just want you to look great and have people ask you, what the fuck is a podcast?
Yeah, which is a legitimate question I got recently. It's people still don't know.
Yeah, so there you go. Also, real good news, Northeast Podcast Live happening on March 29th at Bauhaus, one of the finest establishments in all of the Twin Cities, one of the best places in Northeast Minneapolis.
If it wasn't the coolest tap room before the renovation, it is now. Eric, you and I visited there with Drew. You know, he's like the guy from their Instagram stories that's absolutely hilarious. He's funny in real life, too. And it's beautiful in there.
I would put Bauhaus's tap room up against any other state's top tap room.
I mean, I would probably give it to Surly because it's a beer castle.
But that's not a tap room.
Right. It's different.
That's a full restaurant. Yeah. That's a whole schmear of
it's
different things.
It's like a tap Taj Mahal.
It's the coolest thing. It's just like the coolest warehouse.
Yeah. It's great. So
we'll be there.
And they throw some of the coolest parties there.
That's what we're trying to do.
That's what we're going to be a part of.
We're messing with that. That's a big deal. So yeah, the 29th, it's a Thursday. Start your weekend early. Come out. You don't have to be there for the whole time. Just stop in, right? It's 7 to 9. Grab some beers. Listen to some bullshit.
Oh, my God. Early spring day at a really cool outdoor tap room and have some beer and listen to us bullshit.
Yeah. Mark Parrish will be on with us. It should be fun.
You could have a lot worse Thursday evenings in your life
than
hanging out with us for a couple hours.
I can't wait, man. I'm really jacked on it. We'll actually probably prepare content.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't do that often.
Make it happen. Get out there. Come hang out with us. Have some drinks. Ask some questions. Hopefully you win some free gear. And you just drink some good beers at one of our favorite places. So
can't wait.
Come check it out. We're moving into our screencast. But before we do so, we're going to be drinking a new beer. Jim, what are we drinking?
So we're bringing it back to Wacktown. Waconia Brewing Company in Waconia. Where else? This is their 90K IPA. To me, it's a very traditional style IPA, but really, really tasty, like really well done. It's kind of, you know, it's definitely hop forward, like a good IPA, 8%, right? Or 7%. So it's kind of like, you know, if you were drinking IPAs like 6 years ago, 5 years ago, they all tasted sort of like this, but this brings in some of like the new West Coast styles, some really good hops. It's super drinkable, super tasty. Balanced. I like it. It's not anything super different. It's just really good.
Well, yeah, one of the things we always talk about is everyone's got an IPA.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't just make something ho-hum. And this is not ho-hum. This is a very well-done IPA. I think they know the fact that they're good brewers, right? They made a chocolate peanut butter porter. Like, that's kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So they obviously have some talent. So in order to make a decent IPA, you got to know what you're doing, and they took it to another level. I think this, like you said, this is Not a prototypical IPA. This is very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they call this a mini Western IPA. I've never heard that term before. Mini Western. Mini Western.
Yeah, I think it's tough because I have such a Twin Cities bias and maybe even a Minneapolis bias when it comes to beer. And so whenever there's like some outstate brewery, I always like assume it's going to be bad, mm-hmm. which is totally unfair. And I'll admit that. And so that's kind of how I went into this. You know, my expectations were low. I'm sorry to Waconia. It's not fair of me to go into it with low expectations mm-hmm. just because you're from Waconia, but they make really good beer.
I think they do too. And that, you know, that sort of was the thing, you know, there's, I'm not going to name any, but we've definitely pulled in, especially early on when we were trying to get something new every time, instead of kind of swinging back, we were trying to hit up, you know, every out of town brewery too. And so we're bringing in stuff from these kind of smaller towns outside of the cities, and they weren't always great. I think we can just leave it there, right?
Yep. Yeah.
But since then, we've sort of had places like Junkyard. We're like, damn, I'll grab anything from them anytime.
Junkyard, and that's in Drecker, Moorhead.
Drecker.
Which is
big time. We drank some of that earlier today.
North Dakota.
Yeah, right. But I mean, it's out there. Just killing it. So I don't think you can really have that conception anymore. You just have to try it.
Yeah, so it's really good. We're going to enjoy that, and we're going to jump into Do We Care. First thing we're going to ask about is Legion, dropping 2 15-second teasers for the upcoming season. Do we care?
Hell yeah, we care. This show's going to be great.
What's crazy about these teasers is we still don't really have a trailer. Like we mm-hmm. have literally no idea what's coming, what's going on, and these teasers make it even more confusing.
Right.
There's teeth chattering. There's these face overlays where everyone seems to be like melding who's into who? One person yeah. kind of situation. We know where things left off, but we don't know where it's going to pick up. We don't know who's still in trouble. We don't know what's going on. It's all going to be a complete surprise, yep. which is really cool.
It's perfect for this show yes. too. I mean, the show is like a mind fuck, right? So like, let's roll with that. FX does the best commercials, the best marketing for their shows.
They really do.
Like they definitely film this. They put in a budget into like cool music and all the CG it took to like, you know, meld everybody's face together during that. You know, that wasn't cheap. They made that not as from like footage that they already had filmed. They produced that. And it's just so cool to see that. And FX just does. I love FX. Like, I just think their shows are awesome, super weird and cool. And their marketing is the same way. I'm super excited for the show.
Yeah, we 100% care.
We're big in on Legion Season 2.
I'm all in. I'm really excited about it. I thought it was probably the most underrated show last year.
Yeah.
And it was such a great show because it was funny. It was full of action. It was interesting and smart. It was scary. It was romantic. It was all the things you could possibly want from a story.
Yeah.
And it was
interesting.
And, yeah, like nothing you've ever seen on TV.
No, yeah. It's a weird show. It didn't always work, right? So some shit would kind of be like, all right, this whole episode, I wasn't feeling it, you know, but that's okay, man, because they're trying things. And when it hits and it works, it's some of the best TV out there.
And
that's FX.
Yeah. And when you're new in this weird genre that they're trying to blend between like horror, comic book ish, it's kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
You got to find your footing. And I think they definitely did late in season one. And hopefully that just picks up right where it left off, and we just get going.
Mm-hmm.
And the expectations are pretty high for season two.
I know. Hopefully they're not too high. But yeah, I'm excited.
It's hard not to be excited about it.
I think
it.
We care about this.
Yeah.
I care.
Okay.
All right, next up, Disney is starting their own STEM school in Oakland, a la Black Panther.
That's sweet. It's like life imitates art. You know, if you saw the movie, we are going to do a spoiler later, so I'll just say, like, one of the small things that happens is that, like, you know, Wakanda at some point starts a school for, you know, underprivileged kids in Oakland, and Disney's just doing that with the massive amounts of millions of dollars they made. They're taking $1 million, and they're starting a STEM school there. I think it's super cool.
That's absolutely... We absolutely should care. More companies should be doing this
mm-hmm.
all over the place. There's no reason that you can't spare that type of money. I mean, that's a rounding error for them.
Yeah.
To start a school and do something really cool for kids.
Hell yeah.
Do we care? I'd say yeah. Do we need to talk about it anymore? I say no. Let's move on. All right. Amazon.
Well, coming from a teacher, that's pretty cold.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Amazon bringing in a bunch of new shows, right? Purchasing the rights and the...
They're at least buying up rights like crazy.
So what are a few of those?
So I think Amazon, everybody wants a Game of Thrones, right? So like they've already dropped, and we talked about this in the pod months ago, a shit ton of money. I don't even know if we know how much it was, but it was like in the hundreds of millions of dollars for just the rights to even make a Lord of the Rings. So they got that. Now they've also bought the rights to the Dark Tower, you know, the sprawling saga from Stephen King. So they could make that.
Does it come with Idris Elba and Matthew McConaughey?
It comes with a hard reboot. It comes with a blank slate, which is the best thing that could happen. So I really, really hope that gets made. It's absolutely a series that would lend itself to a big budget, blockbusting Amazon or any production TV series. It's just so much content.
It belongs on TV, not in the theater.
Absolutely. Yep. So that's great. And then we get into some that I am not like a big fantasy reader. I've read those two. But maybe like the third biggest one would be Wheel of Time. Is that Robert Jordan?
That's Robert Jordan.
And then he didn't quite finish it, right? So he like Bart, you read this stuff, didn't you? All of it or some of it?
I read most of it.
Okay.
It's not as good as George's work.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few other fantasy writers that it's not as good as, but it is entertaining. It does contain a lot of the same elements. Like they've got, there's all these like fan forums like, hey, copy. It's like Family Guy versus The Simpsons, right? Okay. Kind of situation. They did it first and you copied this.
Well, they did everything. So fuck right. off. Yeah.
But Wheel of Time is a big deal because that has a massive, massive following. And I don't know. So pre Game of Thrones TV, I would probably say Wheel of Time had more readers than Game of Thrones did.
Yeah, right.
But that's just, I'm guessing. I don't know.
No, I
for
think
sure.
that's probably
but
true.
I think it was. And maybe it fell off when Robert Jordan, you know, passed away. Rest
it was
in
just
peace.
A really long series. It was like 13 books or something, right?
It was a lot. And he just kind of kept going with it, right? Because mm-hmm. he's making money and the publisher wanted more books. So whatever, right? Yeah. That's his job. I think that's
it was clearly a little easier for him to write than George Martin.
I don't know how well this book itself will translate into a TV show that's appetizing across wide audiences.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of a lot more fantasy elements to it than Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones is
supposed
a lot
to be
about
gritty and like real medieval wartime.
But there's like a kid who's like got wolf powers, and there's a kid that has like a lot of them have more mystical abilities as opposed to like Game of Thrones where they sort of talk about it. Like warging, and then it doesn't really happen that often. Mm-hmm. It's not really, it's more a metaphor for technology as opposed to a crux in what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Wheel of Time is a little bit the opposite. Like they use a lot of these mystical and magical
it's
powers.
It's freewheeling, man. Yeah, you're not going to be like, but why could he conjure that? You're just like, dude, he's powerful.
He
and
did
you move
it.
On.
Right. So
all right.
It's okay. It's okay. I you know, would be interested in watching what happens, but then I've seen like the Terry Brooks series, The Sword of Shannara, like MTV bought that and they did that and they turned it into like Xena for teens.
Yeah,
you know,
no,
and it's terrible.
I heard about that and it got canceled. And
right,
it's
and I hope that that's not the case.
I hope it's not too. I hope they treat it with respect. You know, they did a couple other ones like Lazarus, shit I've never heard of. So it, really the moral of the story is we might see some giant sprawling epics from Amazon and maybe they might sell these again to somebody else that's interested, but they clearly want the best chance possible to come out with the next Game of Thrones.
Okay.
I care.
You guys
a lot.
Definitely care. I only care because I have Amazon Prime.
Okay. So you care.
I care because like I am capable of watching it if it's great and mm-hmm. it comes out and then I hear about it.
The minute we know director and writers, we'll be able to tell pretty quickly whether or not this is going to be legitimate or if it's just going to be like, oh, they just wasted a ton of money on buying the rights to that.
Yep.
All right. Next up, again, I am a nerd. I am not nearly as nerdy as you guys when it comes to this one because I've never even heard of this. Some Star Wars Scream is going away.
The Wilhelm Scream? Who's got their phone and can like pull up the Wilhelm Scream while we talk about this? So the Wilhelm Scream started, I think it was in Indiana Jones, right? So like, it's like this certain very distinct sound. It usually happens at like a moment when like three guys get blown up and they go flying off into the distance and you'll hear this like very signature short piece of audio.
Wilhelm. Yeah, I'll just fill my pipe.
Are you going to get one out of this? There it was. That's okay. It. Yeah. So that's the Wilhelm scream. And at the for a long time, I was into it. Like, you would hear it. You know, my wife hears it when we listen to a movie. Like, oh, that's kind of funny. But it's, like, kind of, like, been played up so much that Star Wars is now removing it from their movies. So it's been in every... There's been a Wilhelm scream in every single one of their movies. It wasn't in Last Jedi, and it will not be in future movies. And I think that's good. Because at this point, it pulls me out of the movie. I'm like, dude... It's just too obvious. It's like, it's not an inside joke anymore.
I guess I really don't care.
Okay. I mean, nobody cares about this. Like, the Wilhelm scream is like a thing. It's a thing. It's maybe an internet thing.
No, but it is.
It's a thing.
You hear it in a lot of movies.
Right.
And they've had it in video games. They've had it.
There's websites that you can detail every scene it's ever been used in. It used to be like an inside joke for like audio engineers. And now it's clearly gotten to the point where we're talking about it. Once we're talking about it, it's not cool anymore.
I can't wait for the Netflix faux documentary, like the one. What's the one that you liked?
Vandal.
American Vandal.
Go watch that. It's amazing.
It's going to be like about the Wilhelm estate wanting too much money and how they got too powerful in Hollywood, and so they had to like phase them out.
I love it. Anyways, I guess we don't care.
Don't really care.
I don't even care. Fuck it. Move on.
No, don't care. All right, guys. Next up, we have Wreck-It Ralph 2. Do we care?
Well, the trailer came out. Did you guys watch it?
No.
Ralph's now on the internet instead of an arcade machine. Damn, I guess we don't care. Move on.
No, I don't care. I saw the first one in theaters.
Really?
Still don't care.
Okay.
I don't even know who's in it. Who's like the main character?
John C. Reilly.
That makes me like, makes me care less.
And then Sarah Silverman's a little girl. I mean, they always have great casts. That doesn't make a movie good, but especially an animated movie.
No.
We just don't care, I guess.
Nah.
Look. We cared about Incredibles. We talked about that. But this one's just like, meh, whatever.
All right, Westworld. We now know that the East World is not going to be called anything like East World or even Samurai World. It will be called Shogun World.
Mm-hmm.
Do we care?
I mean, any news on Westworld I'm into. And I think we should couple that with the other news that came out of the same like Entertainment Weekly article that for sure Robert Ford is dead. Like, we're not going to see our boy back. A-Hop. Anthony Hopkins is not coming back. They're going to do flashback scenes, and they're not even doing mocap with him. He's just off the show completely, and they'll be hiring, you know, some lookalike guy. I don't know.
Sure. Hmm. A younger Robert Ford. And they probably, I would guess, did that for budget considerations.
Yeah.
They have to spend, like, this X amount of
dollars.
He's
old, man. I was thinking, like, he looked old. I'm like, dude, they're not going to get him back out there.
Right, and maybe he just didn't want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a one-season
thing. He signed
off,
got paid a bunch, launched it. Sean Bean. He Sean Bean'd it.
Yeah, he killed it,
yeah.
Right? He came in. I mean, he made that first season
exactly
what they wanted it to be. And, you know, maybe don't jump the shark with him.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
He did his part. It was great. And now let's make it about these
new
characters.
Ed Harris is so great anyways. He can be your elder statesman. We can keep going.
Yeah.
So I do care about this.
Yeah. And when is that? That's coming up pretty soon.
You got that, Eric? You got that locked and loaded?
Is that the end of
May?
End of March?
Really?
I thought it was coming up sooner than that. That's why they've been doing a lot of
this. It's coming up April 22nd.
Oh, sorry. Okay. That was a month
right
off.
In the middle. April 22nd, dude. I'll be there.
Perfect.
All right. Next up, The Witcher coming out with, is it a movie?
No, it's a show, right? A
TV show based off the popular book series and video game. Do I care? No. I played the video game. I played it for like,
Witcher 3?
Yeah.
That's supposed to be so amazing.
It's
like game
of the best
game.
Yeah. But went out and bought it because of that. It was so lame. It was like, you have to defeat a griffin. But before you can defeat the griffin, you need to come up with this concoction with this rare flower that you have to get in a lake that's like 2 miles away. And then you have to go find this other thing on top of a hill. And then you need to search its nest. And I was like, damn, I just want to fight the griffin.
All right, not the game for you, apparently.
It's like
I've never played this game. I've just heard it's incredible.
Quest.
Yeah.
And like, even if I don't play video games a lot, which I don't, I play like 3 games on the Switch ever. I still like watching YouTube videos of games and like following games. I don't know. I can just like watch like playthroughs and stuff. I don't know. It's just like my brain just melts away and I enjoy it.
That's what all
and
students.
I like enjoy watching. Yeah, they like people watch Twitch. I don't watch Twitch. I watch YouTube. But
all of my students watch. What's the big game right now that everyone's obsessed
PUBG?
With?
Fortnite.
Yeah.
They all just sit on their phones and watch
other people
playing Fortnite.
Yeah. I mean, that's not me, but that's a thing. But like the game looks incredible and it looks sweet and like all the characters look great And I think it's Netflix, right? So Netflix has bought the rights to Witcher. It's also a book series, and the games looked incredible, and they're moving forward with it. They're working on the pilot script, so it's going to happen. We're going to see Witcher on Netflix. Geez. You guys think it's going to suck? It's going to have to be a big budget. It could be great.
It might be really cool.
It might suck. I'm sure that if I would have... It probably will suck.
I'm sure that if I would have had, like, 13 hours a week to dedicate to playing The Witcher, I would have killed so many awesome animals and had a great time. But I just didn't have that kind of time in my life. And
yeah, I'm sure.
It was like, run to the lake. I was like, no.
No.
Let me I'd rather quit.
Waste $60 on this game.
Yeah. All right. Last one. Do we care? Tarantino's next movie called Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It has Leonardo DiCaprio and Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
Do we care?
Yeah, we care. I mean, every Tarantino movie should be kind of a big appointment viewing, right? I mean, he's made, this will be his 9th movie. They've all been a cultural event, I think. And now he's got like two of the biggest, of course he's going to work with Leo. He's been working with Leo a lot. He's worked with Brad Pitt in the past, Inglourious Basterds. You know, Leo was in Django, so like, they have a precedent here, but together is pretty crazy. And this is the story of the Manson murders, and that's all we knew so far. But now it's got a name, too. So Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I think it's a cool name. I think it's going to be a big movie. I mean, what do you guys think?
What are the odds Brad Pitt is talking with, like, a Southern drawl?
Strong.
What are the chances that Brad Pitt is, like, a no-nonsense, but doesn't really... Well, no, I guess not. That doesn't make sense. He's like a rule-breaking cop who like plays by his own rules.
That might have been younger Brad Pitt, honestly. He might be too old for that role now.
You think so?
So now he's going to be Morgan Freeman.
Yeah.
From 7. Maybe he's Morgan Freeman. He's going to be...
And Leo's going to be the
loose cannon?
I don't know. I don't know if they're going to be the cops. They haven't said that. And neither of them are Manson.
Well, they can't be.
They've got to be the cops, though,
cause,
right?
Because Manson has to be a young man at this point, like 25 or some shit when all this went down, right?
Yeah, like dark-haired, very good-looking, you know, suave guy. And I'm not saying Brad Pitt and Leo aren't that, but everyone knows they're over 40. Like, it's just not going to happen.
You can't hide that.
Of course, it's Hollywood.
There'd be no point, too. But yeah, I think this movie could be really interesting.
I think we 100%
should. Sharon Tate, the whole deal, they got to cast her. I don't know. I'm interested. I care.
First of all, people love serial killer shit.
They do
like,
so much.
It doesn't matter. Like, this is going to be a massive hit because of that reason only. Everyone that's like my parents' age and even maybe probably a little bit younger who were maybe like in high school when a lot of this stuff was going on, they're all going to go see this. Like, this is going to be a massive movie.
Yep.
Especially with Leo and Brad Pitt attached to it.
And those are just like the first two people.
Right.
So, damn.
Do we care?
Hell of a way to start. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I care too. I'm excited. It sounds good.
More so than The Witcher, you would say?
Oh, Jesus. I mean, I'm sorry. Maybe The Witcher will be cool, but I don't know. The game was really boring.
I'm going to call back to The Witcher a lot of times the rest of the way.
Let's keep going back to it.
All right, guys. Let's move on to the big picture. And that is our spoiler-filled recap.
So, if you haven't seen Black Panther... Go ahead and fast forward 20 minutes. I bet we give it that much time. And if we're not talking about it, rewind a little bit. Check it out. But yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to go through some of Black Panther, our thoughts on the movie, what we liked, what worked, what didn't work. And I think we were kind of all on the same page that it was a really good movie. I think I might have liked it the most.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I liked it the most.
Well, I said I gave it, my rating was like a really strong B+.
Yeah, and I gave it a B.
Yeah,
Which is great.
Yeah, so I don't think...
I see a lot of shitty movies, man.
Yeah.
Most of them are like C-.
No, it was really good, though, and I am going to go on a limb. I think it was one of my favorite superhero movies, not just Marvel movies, and I thought it was just so important. I think it was like a movie that came out at the perfect time, and it was just the movie that we needed as humans, but as Americans as well.
I loved all that. All that got an A.
It got an A.
Completely agree.
I mean, the impact, most movies don't mean shit. So for this movie to have any kind of cultural impact, hell yes. I was all into that.
I love it because it has just crossed over. I know we said this last week, but it's just crossed over into all different aspects of life and pop culture and sports and everything. And I think that's so cool. And it's like, it is a movie that people should be proud of. And you see pro athletes that are celebrating by doing the Black Panther like arm salute thing,
the Wakanda salute,
the Wakanda salute. You see, you saw. I'm sorry, who plays Black Panther? What's the actor's name?
Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah, thank you.
Chadwick Boseman was on with Trevor Noah, and they had the entire crowd doing that as well. And I just think it's just been so cool to see that everywhere. And it's just like it's become kind of this cultural phenomenon. And I think that is maybe just as cool and just as great as the movie.
It continues to slay at the box office. Absolutely set records. Was awesome.
Crushing.
Still killing. Putting movies out that like thought they were going to do well in like, you know, 3 weeks after Black Panther are still getting slayed by Black Panther. So it's doing great. A movie was fantastic. It's almost easier to talk about the thing I didn't like about it or the couple things I didn't like about it because I really loved it. And that would probably be just the pace was a little bit slower than what I'm used to seeing for a Marvel movie. You know, I'm expecting, hey, man, this is going to tie in. This is going to be what I like about Marvel movies and I in general do. And, you know, it was a lot of, you know, the action sequences definitely took a back seat to like the family political drama. It was more a movie about the King of Wakanda and how he deals with how he's going to lead his country than it was about a superhero. And that's great. And the movie was fantastic. To me, I was a little bit, I wanted to see a little bit more of him fighting of just some, you know, I don't know, a superhero movie, right?
Well, especially the fighting that you got from, you know, the Civil War. Mm-hmm. I mean, just those scenes, you know, the chase scenes in the tunnel with the cars and all that stuff. Like Black Panther was incredible. He was amazing in those fight scenes.
I know.
And then,
probably better in those fight scenes than anything in this movie.
So that was a little, I completely agree. That was a little bit disappointing. But this was, I don't want to say it's a backstory, but it was just how he came in to be. So there wasn't these large epic fights that needed to happen.
Yeah. I mean, it was both a backstory and not, right? Because, I mean, he was already, like the things that we had seen him in had happened in the past. So Civil War, we'd already seen him. This is after Civil War. But it's right after Civil War.
Nope.
He gets back, and literally the movie starts. And so we've seen things in the Marvel Universe well after this. And so it was filling in a couple gaps. But just from his side, it didn't tie in elsewhere really at all.
And, yeah, I guess I didn't mean to say backstory. It felt like a backstory.
Yeah,
it felt like an origin story for this Black Panther.
And it was, right? I mean, it was because his dad was, which also they didn't really explain that. If he just took over the Black Panther, his dad was like a pretty old man when he died. Was he like still out there killing it in like a little bit larger suit?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't really get that.
Well, they got the tech. They could like, probably make him skinny. They got some Spanx like underneath.
Spanx
like,
tech.
Yeah.
They didn't explain like, well, we haven't really had a Black Panther 15 years. We're sort of waiting for this one to die. He's not quite fit for it anymore. But anyways, I digress on that one. Yeah. I mean, you know, it was a lot of like Angela Bassett being like super serious with a super hardcore African accent, like getting, you know, emotional. And while those scenes were great, they weren't the best part. You know, the best part was really probably just Michael B. Jordan, just absolutely as the best Marvel villain I've ever seen.
Oh, incredible. He was one of my favorite villains ever. And it was because you agreed with so much of what he was saying. I mean, his cause was just, he was so smart, he was so calculated, and it just seemed like the things he was doing, you understood his motive for it. And so his father was killed for pretty much trading, what was it?
Vibranium.
Well, yeah,
Vibranium that he had taken, and he was trading it, and pretty much had betrayed Wakanda.
I mean, the whole theme of everything was nationalism versus globalism, right? So Wakanda had always been the superpower, even through like the slave trades. They sat back with this power to possibly intervene and didn't. Mm-hmm. So like that kind of hangs over the movie without being like said. It said it's mentioned one time, I think, by Killmonger, the bad guy. He sort of references it, but they don't get too deep because that's a little maybe even too heavy. But they've kind of sat back. They've had these amazing powers, this amazing potential to do these things, and they haven't intervened when they probably should have. And, you know, at one point, you see Black Panther go back to his ancestors and says, you guys are wrong. Like, you should have done this. You should have opened up Wakanda. And they didn't.
Well,
And so, yeah, I mean,
They meant, I think that's part of it, but I think they meant more of from like an uplifting standpoint, right? In the, why didn't you try and enhance the lives of other people when you could have had the opportunity? Not like you should have stepped in and, you know, ended slavery by killing all of the masters like that.
The type colonialists, of right? Yeah.
I don't think that's definitely not what I got.
No,
from
I agree.
But it was very soft, like light-handed, but as a white male in the USA, really made me think about that from, I never would have thought of that. Like, not that I'm, whatever, not that I'm not cultured and I don't understand those things, but I never, it given to me in a superhero movie and done very well was really cool.
And that's some of the best stuff about it.
Like, really eye-opening. Sure. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
So a couple of the other things that were really great about the movie, I would say, were the fight scenes that were like the tribal showdowns for the, you know, the mantle of the Black Panther, right?
Right.
And so you had no powers and you had these guys who were fighting with weapons of their choosing in pretty much loincloths on top of a waterfall. And I thought those were better fight scenes than any that he had while he was wearing the suit.
The intensity was up, especially, you know, the showdown with Killmonger and you know, the king, T'Challa. That was really, really intense. But I was also like, dude, you're kind of asking for trouble here if that's your system of government. Like, it's not it's just the person that can win in a fist fight is going to be your leader.
Yeah.
You're probably asking for some shit to go wrong, which it did hard.
Yeah, but you have to think about it too. I mean, it worked for them the first time when T'Challa won over the, I don't know, whoever the guy was who was attempting to defeat him and
the
take
mountain
the crown.
Clans, whatever they were.
And it's like, it worked there because he wasn't the better fighter, but he was smarter and he was brave and he showed all the qualities of a leader you would want.
Yeah.
But it kind of backfired when Killmonger showed up. And by the way, can we just say that Eric Killmonger, kind of a lame name?
I mean, they went for it.
Killmonger, cool name for a villain.
He had a different name. His name was like kind of more boring. And then he got the nickname of Killmonger in the U.S. Armed Forces, where he was like fucking killed everybody. He was unbelievable. So I'm okay with it. And you know what? There's some options that Marvel has and some they don't.
Yeah.
And that's the name of that character. He's a comic book character from the 70s. He is. I mean, that's what you go with.
So in the movie, though, you get a couple of these fight scenes on top of the waterfall. They were violent. They were intense. They were some of the best moments of the movie, in my opinion. And it took away some of the scenes you probably would have had with him in the Black Panther costume.
Because they took at least two action sequences and put it towards that. You're right.
And so you had those, and I actually think I enjoyed those more because they were kind of like edge of your seat moments where you were like, is something bad going to happen? Is he going to lose this? And they did such a great job of kind of like building the intensity and, you know, making it into something that was worrying for you as the viewer. And so I really enjoyed those parts. I thought they were fantastic. And then, you know, just the whole relationship that he had with some of the other characters. His sister was amazing.
She's great. Letitia Wright.
Yeah. And she was...
Letitia. Yeah, she's fantastic.
Shuri,
she's a big star.
His sister. Yep. I mean, she was fantastic. And she was kind of playing like the Q. Is that his name?
Yeah.
From James Bond.
I've heard some Bond comparisons, and I get that.
Yeah.
Because they have the best tech. You know,
but she was
he's
more
also,
of a...
He's pretty much operating as a government operative. Black Panther is.
Yeah.
He's executing missions to help his government, but he also happens to be the king.
And she was kind of a thorn in his side comically, which Q was not. He just made like little quips, like, try not to blow up the car this time, James. Like,
right. She was just feeding the ego, whereas as Shuri was trying to knock him down.
She was checking it.
Yeah checking the ego.
And then, let's be honest, Lupita Nyong'o was...
beautiful, fantastic.
She was wonderful. I mean, she kind of stole the show outside of Michael B. Jordan as another person who just took over. And I think that was the other thing that people really like about this. I mean, obviously, if you are African-American, if you're African, if you're Black in any way, this movie would be so powerful and exciting, and it would be something to bring real pride, in my opinion. But also, if you're a woman, especially if you're a Black woman, but if you're a woman in general, it was such a powerful movie as well, because the women were the most badass people in the movie. They were smart. They were brave. They were tough. I mean, it was really, really, really well done.
Yep. And I appreciated all that. I mean, really, we're white men in our 30s. Eric, you're not 30, are you?
Almost.
Okay. Jesus. but pretty much, right? And pretty much all these movies are made for us, like, just totally. They're white dudes. They're also in their 30s, at least their characters are. Maybe their 40s, whatever. The movies are made for us. It felt good to see something different. And it worked so well. So I like that part about it.
Yeah, so it gets down to it. Michael B. Jordan takes the throne. He steals the throne pretty much mm-hmm. in this fight scene, throwing him off the waterfall, which he survives, of course.
He shouldn't have thrown him off the fucking waterfall.
No, he should have just killed him right there. Yeah, he should have murdered him right in front of everyone. But
well, but in fairness, you'd probably think, like, it's about a 150-foot fall. He's pretty much unconscious at this point. I'm going to toss him over the edge. Odds are, like, you toss him over the edge for dramatic effect, right? For the audience.
Yeah.
Not the audience as me, but the audience of the people, the tribes that were watching.
We're the surrogate audience for those people.
Like, look, I'm way tougher than him. I tossed him over the edge. And I think he's probably like, oh, he's dead. I threw him over a waterfall. Like, he's got to be dead. But that's not how comic book movies work.
Exactly. And no, I know. If there was one kind of silly thing, that'd be it, I suppose. Because really, if he survives, as it happened, he comes back and you're not the king anymore. no, you didn't kill him.
So he throws him off and, you know, I think that was a really fun part of the movie. I actually wish Killmonger would have had a longer reign,
mm-hmm.
even just with screen time. I wish we would have seen a little bit more of that.
Yeah, he really got to make one decision that obviously was blocked, right? It was the decision to send out your weapons to these kind of like uprisings all over the place. And it was sort of like he was trying to be Dick Cheney on the bit. And, like, you know, arm these rebels, which seems great in theory, doesn't always work very well. And he kind of pulled, like, it was almost like his flaw wasn't being a bad Wakandian. It was sort of like that he had been too Americanized or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because he was trying to be like, hey, well, you know, let's, instead of spreading democracy forcefully by arming, you know, uprising democracies, let's arm, like, you know, blacks around the world that are being, you know, oppressed.
Yeah.
And that was kind of his thing. But it was like, it was going to be very violent. And it wasn't just like that in itself is sort of like, well, I can see where he's coming from. He definitely said multiple times, like, let's make Wakanda everywhere. Like, let's make everything Wakanda.
Yes.
It wasn't just like they'll take over their respective countries. They'll be representing Wakanda. I will be the leader of everything. So in a way, he still was a very much a villain. Like, he was trying to take over the world, just in a way more noble way than most.
It was dictatorial, for sure. And he wanted to consolidate all the power, hence the reason that he burned all of the flour.
Yep.
Which
is going to have some effects. I mean, like,
right?
There can only ever be one more Black Panther now.
Unless that thing has seeds or something. I don't know. I don't know how all that works, right?
That's true.
But that was such a throw it in the face of what's currently going on, which is, as soon as I get to power, I'm going to make sure no one else can get here.
Yeah.
And in order for democracy to survive, you can't have that element. And I think that was just sort of, I mean, a comment on current political regimes in a lot of places.
Yeah.
Of, I'm going to eliminate any chance of opposition, regardless of how I feel about this place and how much I say that I love it and I'm doing it for the right reasons, although violently.
Yeah.
He was going about it in a very dictator-like fashion, even though he was trying not to be that person.
God, it was, and stuff like that, you know, you can read deep into this movie. Just go ahead and dig as deep as you want, and you're going to find more and more. I mean, it's well thought out. Do you think the writing is the best part of the movie? Is it the acting, or is it the production design? Because Wakanda and everything about it, every costume, every set, just looked incredible. I mean, it was really, like, in a lot of ways, just such a fantastic movie.
They paid so much attention to detail in a lot of things where you could say, it's just a comic book movie, right? Who cares?
Yeah.
No, they really put, I really feel like they put thought into how they were going to dress people that were irrelevant to the movie, but they were standing as extras, right?
Yeah.
Or they were part of a shot, you know, where they were all standing on the waterfall watching these fight scenes, and everyone had their sort of unique
colors,
kind of garb.
Cascading up the waterfall, kind of.
Yeah.
Dude, it was beautiful.
It well shot. I think some of the writing was whatever. It's hokey. It's a comic book movie. They're working with comic
books. It's amazing it wasn't cheesy.
Exactly.
Right? Any of these movies. That's like the biggest thing you have to battle against. How is it not cheesy? It's incredible. And sometimes it does border on that, even the best, that you have to be like, okay, it is a comic movie. I get that, like, the rhinos coming out at the end. I think you and I, we were watching it, we sort of looked at each other like, okay, let's remind ourselves, this is a comic book movie.
Yeah.
That was
they
the
showed
only...
up in like 3 seconds. Like, where the fuck were they? Behind the rock, just hanging, ready to go?
Hanging out.
Yeah.
They were, that was the only like semi-eye roll moment for
me. Yeah, really. And the rest was fantastic.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, dude, hats off to Ryan Coogler, writer, director of this movie. Absolute superstar.
31 years old.
Going to be making a small time testing drama next, so let's keep that in mind. But yeah, I mean, this guy's a superstar.
Yeah, no, it was really good. I think that the worst part to me actually was the final fight scene.
Mm-hmm.
Between the two Black Panthers, I thought that was kind of poorly done, to be honest with you. It was the only part of the movie that I was like, ugh.
Yeah,
and that whole fight
it's
scene
a little
was
anticlimactic,
just, was just okay. And then it's funny because
the whole tribal battle and stuff, yeah. And like everybody's killing each other, and you'd sort of be like, wouldn't they just stop when they realize it's just a matter of... I mean, they did a good job with, like, setting it up and giving some kind of motivations to, like, who's the guy that's up for best actor right now? Daniel Kaluuya.
Yeah.
They sort of, like planted him as, like, his parents were killed and he has a certain motivation, too. And that's the reason I was okay with that. But it was also, like... The ending scenes weren't the best scenes in the movie by far.
No, I thought that was kind of the worst part of the movie. And then, honestly, here's super spoiler. The end credit scenes, both post-credit scenes, were pretty weak, too.
Yeah, right.
Bucky pops up at the very end.
Literally my least favorite who gives a fuck character. If he was on Dewey Care, I would say, no, we do not care.
So here's my one complaint. And I said this, and this is just me making a minor complaint. I'm sure most people don't care and don't have the same feelings as I do. But the one thing that I was disappointed about with Black Panther had nothing to do with the quality of the movie or the acting or the writing or the storytelling or any of it. I thought they were, it was incredible. I thought they did such a wonderful job. My complaint comes from the timing. Now, I know that it came out during Black History Month, which is amazing and wonderful. I'm so glad that they timed it out like that. But what they messed up it with is that it came out right before the Avengers Infinity War Part 1. And to me, this had to be the last movie to kind of set the stage for where Thanos is, what he's doing. He's moving kind of behind the scenes. The Avengers still aren't wise to this yet. They could have made one last play for him to get another Infinity Stone or to show where he is or to show who he's working with, whatever it may have been. And they did none of that. Now, I found myself during the movie thinking, like, there's no possible way that they can have a white superhero show up to save the day in this movie. That just can't happen.
And that was good. That was good for this movie.
I'm glad that that didn't happen. But it could have happened in the end credit scenes when the day was saved and the heroes were on top and everything had gone back to normal. They could have had a quick scene that had some of the other Avengers. It could have been something random. It could have been something fun. Mm-hmm. But the next movie is... going to be Infinity War.
And see, I disagree just a little bit because I think they turned it on its head. I'm not saying what you're saying is invalid. I feel like they flipped it around and said, the white superheroes aren't going to come save us. What we did at the end was say, the only way that the white superheroes are going to survive is with our tech.
Mm-hmm.
And saying that we're opening up Wakanda to help everyone else. And I'm not saying Black Panther wouldn't have hopped in to help, you know, the Avengers during this Infinity War. But I think what they're trying to set up is the fact that it's going to be the only reason that you're going to survive this.
Yeah, Wakanda will help arm an army, right? So it's going to be bigger than superheroes. Superheroes alone are not going to fight this incoming Thanos army.
Not going
to
happen without
us. It's going
to
have to be people.
Right.
And right. And so, like, I get that. And that's all important. Eric, to your point, I think that you're right. They had a chance to absolutely get everyone super hype about this Avengers movie. It had nothing to do with the Avengers movie coming out.
They didn't even try. And if you
saw...
They
didn't, but I will say this. And the reason this happened is because they were late to make this movie. Because it's a black movie. And they just like... It's 2018 and it's our first big time black super movie. And it's late anyways. Well, even the events of this movie took place in the timeline, in our timeline, 4 years ago. This movie should have come out...
Yeah.
You know, it should have been
right.
The next fucking movie after Civil War, and that was four years ago, whatever. So they were late on this movie in general. So, yeah, it should have been out last February or the February before that, and they could have had, you know, another Thor movie that tied in. They could have done, you know, maybe an Iron Man 4 or something in there to really tie it in. And but I mean, they didn't do that.
But really, what are you going to glean from a 30-second post-credit scene that you don't already know about Thanos from the teasers?
But I mean, at the end of Ragnarok, you have
Thanos. Whoa, I haven't seen that yet. Yeah. I literally am waiting and waiting. I check it every day to see if it's rentable yet, so stop. Thanos doing something, you I know get what I'm it. Saying, but I'm I saying know, Thanos
I,
will be there.
I think we know...
His ship like comes by or something.
And I just think we need to be connected.
What's going on. We know what's going on. Black Panther's already connected because he's part of the Avengers. I don't think there's anything that they could have done in 30 seconds or 15 seconds or whatever that you're going to be like, okay, now I'm really excited for this. Like, you're But you're already excited for this.
And it wasn't Bucky coming out without an arm.
No. It could have been. Definitely wasn't.
It like, could have been.
I stayed an extra 3 minutes for that. It could have been Captain America. I know.
It could
Why
have been
wasn't
anybody.
He's on the lam.
It could have been anybody else. It could have been any other character. Bucky, I was like, am I supposed to be excited about that? Come on.
Yeah, have Bucky come out and then also have, like, hopefully from a different tent or else you get some weird vibes, but like a different tent, you have Captain America come out. You're like,
and you're like, all right.
They're both there. Yeah. This is going to be crucial.
This is going to be critical.
Wakanda is going to be important. Yes,
yeah,
I agree.
They dropped the ball there.
I mean, we're getting big picture. Microcosm, the movie's fantastic.
And then, guys, I still disagree, though, that this movie did not need to hype up Infinity War in any way. I know it's the last movie. I know it's coming right before, but I don't think this was meant to be a standalone and a standalone.
The movie would be huge regardless. I get that.
All right, guys, let's talk about the real star of the show, though, Martin Freeman.
The token white guy. You heard that joke? That's pretty good.
I'm joking. That was a total joke.
But he actually was pretty good.
Everybody was great. Yeah, he was pretty good. And honestly, who's the guy? Ustaf, he died or whatever, but he does all the mocap stuff. Who's the other white guy in it?
Andy Serkis.
Andy Serkis is awesome.
He crushed.
He's great. I don't know how ripped he was. I'm like, he's cool.
Gnarly, his like growly, angry, accented voice was
South
phenomenal.
African accent.
It was great.
Yeah, I mean everybody was great.
Martin Freeman and Andy Serkis were the two best people.
The only person that wasn't great, and I finally get to bitch about this, was I'm so sick of seeing Lazy Eye McGee just die in every movie. I couldn't have cared about their shaman
Forrest
Whitaker. He's like a must cast in every movie now. Do something
he,
for me.
He talks with the raspy voice.
He dies at like an emotional time. That was like the worst part of the movie for me was when he died and I was supposed to care for like too long, like minutes of me supposing to care and I didn't care because of course he's gonna die. All
right, guys, where would you rank this in your all-time favorite superhero movies?
I don't know, like fifth or sixth. It's in there. I like Civil War better. I probably liked Winter Soldier better.
So if you had to give me your
out of the Marvel ones or just in general?
Period. All superhero movies.
Like top 10 for sure.
Top 10? Yeah. What are your very top ones?
I mean, so I would probably do Winter Soldier.
Number one?
No. Like okay. Two and then
in
probably
no
like.
In particular order.
Yeah. And then probably like Dark Knight as my favorite ever. Okay. But yeah, I mean, it's up there for sure.
Yeah, I think it's better than any of the Thor movies.
For sure.
I would probably say Guardians 1
is a little better for me.
Is probably a little bit better.
Because that's just so funny and awesome.
But it's also so different. Like, it's so not different. Serious at all.
Mm-hmm.
And Black Panther is very serious. So I would probably put it at number 4 for me.
That's
and I think
great.
That, I think that's a probably... Being completely objective.
That's huge,
that's probably pretty good.
I think I'd put it at number 4 as well. I'd say number 4... Black Panther, number 3, Winter Soldier, Captain America.
Okay.
Number 2, Logan, and number 1.
Yeah, so you
got to
throw
Knight.
Logan in there. I liked this better than Logan, actually.
You did?
Yep. And I thought it was a little bit
Logan was your
a little bit bigger.
Movie of the year.
Just a bigger movie, had more to look at, more going on. I get that the charm of Logan was that it was stripped down, it was emotional, but yeah, I mean they're right there. They're close.
Yeah.
Right. Well,
I think Logan was maybe like a better movie, but this was had a little bit more entertainment value.
All right, moving on to our curtain call. Atlanta is back on FX. You guys watched it. Where are you at with it? We'll try not to spoil anything for anyone who hasn't watched the first episode or is trying to catch up with it right now. But what'd you guys think of the first episode?
I mean, we could recap this like almost word for word. It's not really going to spoil anything. Like,
it's a weird show, you guys. It doesn't have to hinge on plot. You know,
nobody's
leaving Atlanta. Okay, it's not a big. It's like real life show. I don't know. I mean, it's it captures like small intimate moments from these people's lives and makes it wildly entertaining. Yeah, and it's 25 minutes. Thank God.
It's the perfect amount of time for a show like this because they have a handful of serious elements. They have a bunch of fun, quippy, not
laugh out loud moments,
but not meant to be funny. It's just the characters being themselves. Like right. Darius,
it fits in so well.
Darius is one of the most underratedly funny characters in any TV show, and he's so fucking serious in the show.
Yeah,
he's so serious.
He's deadpan as hell. That's just how he is. But he's out there, smokes way too much pot.
Way too much pot.
Yeah.
He said, like, okay. He goes, and you can. This will segue into Cat Williams.
Yes.
But he goes,
which
to,
is the talking point of the entire app.
He goes to. Here. Meet Cat Williams' character. I forget his name. And he says, I would say it's nice to meet you, but I don't believe in the concept of time.
It's a construct. And like, it's just like...
It's like...
At one point, he
and
hands...
he's dead serious.
He hands Donald Glover, like he's cooking in the kitchen. It's all this serious stuff. And he hands him like a slider. And he's like, be careful. It's really cold. Like, what? It's like, what the hell is wrong with this guy? I mean, it is an absolute delight of a show to watch. I think this was... I don't know, within, there was what, 10 episodes last season? I think this is like, you know, the third best episode ever. It was just off to an awesome start. So without spoiling anything, because we're not going to, and there's not much to spoil, but Cat Williams shows up and absolutely steals the show. I would be okay with never seeing him again on the show and just knowing that this was perfection, or having him a recurring character. He's like... his uncle, right? So he's Earn's uncle.
Because is he Earn's uncle or Al's uncle?
I think he's, well, they're cousins. Earn and Al are cousins. So yeah, Donald Glover and the rapper Paperboy are cousins.
Yep.
And I think that this is, yeah, which doesn't like really make that much sense.
Well, I wasn't sure whose uncle it would be, but not important.
It's not. It's just like, it's amazing to watch. I mean, it's just like.
So Cat Williams delivers. He should not do anything ever again.
No,
he should
perfect
retire from acting.
You know, Cat Williams as a comedian, hilarious, was huge like 8 years ago, and has been on one of the wildest stretches of like downward spiral you could ever imagine as a celebrity. You know, he punched a seventh grader, punched him in the face. They were playing soccer. There's a really hilarious YouTube. It's not hilarious. It's actually kind of disturbing. YouTube video of them like. Fighting, and they're about the same size. In fact, Cat Williams is smaller than the seventh grader. Cat Williams is tiny.
He fights a middle school
and like loses, gets his ass kicked, like on the ground, getting punched in the head by a seventh grader, and has to get like taken. I mean, yeah. So like for him to like come in and just steal the show, and just be so captivating and so entertaining, hilarious, believable. It seems like he's born to play whatever tiny role this was.
You saw Cat Williams right away.
Yeah.
Right? You
Bam.
Saw him.
Opens the door, you're like, oh, shit.
And you're like, oh, really?
Yeah.
Cat Williams? And then after about a minute, you forget that it's Cat Williams, yeah. Which is...
amazing.
Which is, yeah, applaud to him because of how well he played his role. Like, I forgot it was him after a while, which is so well done. Everything about the episode, there's a little bit of drama, and you don't know where things are going. We didn't see a lot of Paperboy, which we saw a lot of in season one.
Mm-hmm.
Back to sort of Earn on the grind, on the hustle.
Things are always thin, man.
And we'll see.
Things are thick or thin in Earn's life. They're always thin.
And Robin season is, I mean, they open it up and let you know,
cool,
and then they
really
tell you
cool,
why.
Cold open. Yeah, I mean, honestly, the show is must watch. It's back. We finally have some good TV back because I've really been watching some absolute garbage. Altered Carbon, fucking not worth watching. I'm sorry. I don't care about the budget. It wasn't good. I've been watching stuff I shouldn't have been, and this is refreshing.
It
see
is.
See some prestige TV back on TV.
This is elite must watch TV
FX,
for
baby.
Everybody.
FX. Check it on FX. Was it Thursday night? I don't remember. Wednesday or Thursday?
I think it was Wednesday.
Yeah. I mean, this show's fantastic.
I watched it twice.
You did?
I did.
Dude, I was going to watch it again. I didn't delete it on DVR because I was thinking about watching it. Because it's quick, man.
It's good. I liked it better. Come on, buddy. I liked it better again.
I'm gonna have to watch it.
Yeah, you think?
I did catch up though. Better late than never. I did watch The Incredibles for you guys.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Entertaining as hell, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was great. So right, now cool. I have to catch up. I'll get back on Atlanta. I know it's wonderful.
Eric, if you're looking for a movie to catch up on Better Late Than Never, talk to us. Don't pick Incredibles. We have like 50 other movies that you need to watch.
Dude, you literally haven't seen like the first Alien, have you?
No, I have.
Okay, well, there's
but like Braveheart, Saving Private Ryan, Gladiator. Like, there's 100 movies that
Why
you
did you
watch.
Just pick like the three movies most likely to have people's like intestines coming out?
Well, that's, I don't know. Prestige movies tend to have some violence in them.
I mean, the best show on TV is Game of Thrones, and that's got that everywhere. So right. I don't know what you're questioning there.
Yeah, what's your complaint?
Anyway, sure. So
can I just say this before we wrap up?
Sure.
I want to tease Trust, because in FX, I trust. And so they got this J. Paul Getty story kind of everywhere. All the Money in the World movie came out a little bit ago. But FX is doing a big budget miniseries of this story with Donald Sutherland. It's got Brendan fucking Fraser in his comeback. I need to watch this. It looks great. I'm going to be watching it. This is a teaser for anyone out there. Watch the pilot with me. Okay? I'm going to watch it. You
What's
guys it watch it.
Trust?
It's called Trust.
Okay.
It's going to be, it's a big budget movie or show. It looks fantastic. I'll be watching and maybe I come back the pod after that and say, sorry if I told you to watch that. You already know you're not going to be watching episode 2. Neither will I, but sometimes on a flyer, a la, you know, Stranger Things or whatever, we catch these things early, and that's what I'm hoping to do.
I think I must watch it because my greatest prank was when my roommate in college left to go to work, and he left his Facebook up. I started the Voice of a Generation Brendan Fraser fan club and invited every person he knew.
Yeah.
And then I friend requested every Brendan and Brandon Fraser in all of Facebook, and it was like the gift that kept on giving. Every day it would be like, Brett is friends with Brandon Fraser, Brandon Fraser, Brandon Fraser, Brandon Fraser, Brandon Fraser, Brandon Fraser. There was a lot of them. So I think
that wouldn't work today because they don't show you who you became friends with anymore.
Yeah, so I think I owe it to him. I think I'll check it out with you.
Oh my God, that's great.
I will
finally
not,
a story from Eric I haven't heard. That's a good one.
I will not be checking it out.
You won't until I see it? Or you just
I'm gonna wait till stuff comes in about it because I don't think it looks very good.
I think it looks fun. And it's FX, man. They
don't know
make
if I trust this director. I think I know he's got hold on.
Danny Boyle.
He's got
fucking
he's got 127 hours and then he's got like one
Slumdog Millionaire, which he won Best Director
right.
for.
Nope. I'm not saying.
Prestige,
I'm not saying.
Prestige.
Hold
dude.
On. Stop.
Oh boy.
I'm not saying he doesn't have the chops, because he's a good movie director, and he's only That's directing true. 3 episodes. I don't know how he's going to do with TV. I don't think Donald Sutherland can carry a main role. I know he's got a lot of roles. Like, he's in a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
We don't know anything about the guy who's playing the grandson.
Nothing.
He's in almost
Fresh
nothing.
Face, dude.
Do we know if he's any good? I'll probably check out the pilot because it'll be homework for the pod.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not real hyped on it yet.
Okay.
It looked okay, but maybe looked a little too trying to be slapstick serious, if that makes sense.
Nope.
But that's
slapstick serious.
That's the vibe I got in like the
like
way that the trailers
quirky,
were.
Quirky serious.
Yeah, the way that the trailers were cut. Mm-hmm. So that may not be the vibe of the show, and that's just what I incorrectly garnered from the trailers.
Okay.
But I'm going to reserve whether or not I'm going to commit to at least the pilot until I at least see some reviews initially.
All right, dude, I feel you, man.
All right, and do you want to hear
it? You have the luxury of knowing that I'm going to watch it. So
I know. That's the best part, is that I know that anything that comes out, you're going to be 2 episodes in before I even consider watching it.
And I'll be
it,
like,
so.
No, I watched the first 2, it was bad. No. And you're like, sweet.
Do you want to hear any updates from the Oscars or no?
Let's save it all, man.
All right,
let's
we'll save
it
all. So
we're
recording.
I do
this.
Know that before we recorded this, I was already 4-for-4. So let's just see.
All right. Well, we are recording this on Sunday night during the Oscars. We'll be back with a live episode on Monday.
Well, this is probably going to be have already aired by the time the live stream was out. So
hopefully you watched it.
The live stream will The live stream will have aired by the time this episode comes out. So
yeah, probably.
We'll already know. Jimmy Channel's gonna be 10-for-10.
No.
Not a big deal.
All right, guys. that's all the time we have. Hopefully you're going to check out all of our content this week. We got a bunch for you. We're all over the place today. Hopefully you didn't mind. Hopefully you go check out Black Panther if you listened to that whole thing and still haven't seen it. That's weird. But it was great. We'll be back with you guys next week, Nordy's podcast. And once again, get pumped up about Bauhaus on March 29th, Thursday, March 29th, for our first ever live Nordy's podcast. Hopefully we will see you there. Mark your calendars now. Take off work on Friday. You're going to want to stay up late and have a good time with us. Until then, we're the Nordy's podcast. Take it easy.